You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Evan Ha'ezer, Simon Dalid, which talks about who you're allowed to marry and who you're not allowed to marry. That's the topic of this Simon. And we're going to be talking about Ammonis and Moavis and Mitzris and Edomis and Mamzerim and Nesinim and all the different people that Jews are allowed to marry and not allowed to marry. Some of them are not applicable Bizman Hazeh. Mamzerim obviously are very applicable Bizman Hazeh. We're going to talk a little bit maybe later today. What's the halacha if a Jewish woman fathers a child with a non-Jewish man, where the father is a Gentile? What is the status of the child? I had this Shaila Halacha Maisa with a Talmida of mine a few years ago in our summer program. And she's Baruch Hashem, a wonderful Eshes Chayil now, built a beautiful Jewish family. And I remember her asking Rabbi Orlian, what's the deal? Who am I not allowed to marry? My father's a guy, my mother's Jewish. And we had a little conversation about that. And Baruch Hashem, everything turned out well. Good morning, Mr. Davies. Good to see you. Let us open up to the tour, just to give us an introduction to the first halacha, and then we'll take a step backwards, look at some psukim and chumash. The tour says, Elu she'ein ru'uyin lisa, the following people who you can't marry, either omachmas psul yuchsin, omachmas dovashe begufan, omachmas erva. The three categories of people you're not allowed to marry, either because there's a problem with yichus, the genealogy, their ethnicity, we'll call it. Omachmas davashe begufan. We'll see what it means. I assume he's going to be talking about psuadaka, kroshavcha, and other types of physical deformities that prevent them from being able to marry into Klal Yisrael. Omachmas erva. I'm assuming that he's going to mean mamzerim. So let's, before we look at the next line of the tour, let's go straight to the Psukim and Dvarim, which are the background for what we're going to learn today. The Psukim and Dvarim say the following. Lo Yavo, number one, it's going to be Mamzer, Bekal Hashem. And why is Mamzer so terrible? Because Gamdor Asiri Lo Yavo Lo Bekal Hashem. So that means if a Mamzer has a child, the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchild of that Mamzer is also a Mamzer, and also going to be usher to be Baba Kahal, which is why Mamzerus presents one of the greatest challenges in Jewish life. And whatever we could do to avoid Mamzerim is incredibly significant for the Jewish people in its entirety, which is why there's an organization called Kayama. I don't know if any of you heard of it, organized by a lawyer or two, from lawyer, a friend, Gedalia Litke, I think, a friend of mine, used to live on my block. He started this organization, I don't know who else he did it with, encouraging non-religious Jews to get gittin. Why? Because if a non-religious Jew gets divorced and gets, you know, after their divorce, they have another marriage and have children. So if there was no get, then the children of that subsequent marriage are mamzerim, and we just inserted into Klal Yisrael a string, a lineage for Lidori Doros and Mamzerim, who are all going to be asked to marry Klal Yisrael and going to cause anyone else they bear throughout Kol Hadoros to become Mamzerim also. And that's a terrifying thing. So therefore, if you ever bump into a non-religious acquaintance, client, business associate who's getting divorced from a Jew, then you should encourage them to get a Jewish divorce. That's a very important thing. Next pasuk dalet, lo yavo amoni umo avi bekal Hashem. And again, if you happen to bump into an amoni or a moavi, who the Torah defines as an amoni or moavi, not just somebody who happens to, you know, live in Jordan nowadays and who converted and married a Jewish person, or I don't know, Jordanian person, you know, lived with a Jewish girl. So if it's a real Ammoni Moavi from the time of Chumash, so again, Gamdor Asir Lo Yavo Lahem Bekal Hashem Adolam, forever. It's if the father was an Ammoni Moavi, it also disqualifies that progeny for all eternity. Why? What's the terrible specifically about Ammoni Moavi? The pasuk that you know in Kitetze Al Dvara Shelo Kidma Eschem Alech V'Mayim. Because they were not nice people, to curse you. So therefore, forevermore, Ammoni and Moavi are not welcome in the Jewish people. Even if they could, they can be Megayer. They can be Megayer. 100% they could be Megayer. But even if they are Megayer, they will not be able to marry. V'lo ava Hashem Elokech lo. Okay, Hashem didn't listen to Bilam. Fine. Next. Now we have a separate Isser, separate from Ammoni and Moavi. Lo tesayv Adomi ki achichu. Adomi is indeed your cousin through Esav. Lo tesayv Mitzri ki gerah Yisrael be'artzo. So we can't, we have an Isser d'oraisa to cause trouble to Adomis and Mitzris, each one for their own reason, and their lineage will be partially acceptable, partially not acceptable. The third generation of such a union of a Jewish, let's assume a Jewish girl marries an Adomi, a Jewish girl marries a Mitzri, so they're going to be usher, their children will be usher, and we'll have to see how to measure the third generation. Does it mean three generations after they marry a Jewish girl, or three generations after they're Megayer? Or is it the third generation itself is Mutter? Meaning, let's say you have a Mitzri or an Adomi convert, becomes Jewish, marries a Jewish girl. So their child cannot marry a regular, well, that first generation can't marry a regular Jewish girl, could only marry somebody else who is not Bekal Hashem, like a Mamzeres, like a Gioras, like whoever else would be in that category of non-regular Jewish girls. So their child would also not be able to marry a regular Jewish person. What about their grandchild? Or do you have to wait till their great-grandchild? That we'll see when we get into the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch will be very, very clear how to measure and how to count those three generations. Okay, now among the people who are also going to be learning about, the Torah told us, we're going to be learning about Mamzerises, Nesinas. What's a Nesina? So the Torah told us, Nesina is min ha-givonim shegazer Yehoshua aleihem. Here we have to know a little bit of history, which you've all come across in your travels through Shas. And Nesinim was a story in the time of Yeshua that, as Rashi says, Nesim, they were Givonim. They were from Givon, which is not far away from Eretz Yisrael, but they pretended they were very far away, and they tricked Yehoshua into thinking that they were far away. Now, we know that the people who are in Eretz Yisrael, the seven Amimim, have to be killed out. That's part of what Yehoshua did when he conquered Eretz Yisrael, was he was supposed to kill out all the seven Amimin. And the Nesin and the Givonim knew that, so therefore they made pretend as though they came from far, far, far away, and they want to make peace with the Jewish people, and Yehoshua made a peace treaty with them. Only afterwards did he find out that they were indeed from the seven Amimin, and therefore they do need to be killed, but he already made a peace treaty, so he couldn't. So the story there was Givonim sheniskayru ba'arma, with trickery, bimei Yehoshua. He made them into wood choppers and shovei mayim for the Jewish people. Now, we're going to have to talk about the situation of this nasan for a minute, and then we'll start digging a little deeper. The Gemara in Yevamos Daf Ayin Vav Amud Aleph introduces this concern for Nesinim. Second, please. So we're worried about Nesinim. What is the case of this Nasin? This Nasin indeed is somebody who is from the seven nations of Eretz Yisrael, from the seven nations. Now you and I know that there's a pasuk in Chumash that says Lo Tischatin Bam. You're not allowed to marry any of the seven nations. So are we talking about, when we talk about a Nasin, are we talking about somebody who's actually a Gentile? They're from the Nasin, that means they're not Jewish. Ikri Khan, like the Gemara says in the first stage in Yivamasama Ayin Aleph, Ikri Khan lo seschatin bon. If you marry a Nasina is not a Jewish person. They're from the seven Amimin, and you're not allowed to marry them. So even if they, hold on. So the first stage of this Gemara is saying, Lo Sizchad, there's an Issa Daraisa to marry a Nasin. Amar Rava. Comes Rava again, I don't have the context where it's right before this piece, but I don't think that was really related to us. Atu Hasa Bishum Kedusha Lau Kedusha Hu. The concern for Nesinim is not that they're not Jewish, but rather that even if Yichus-wise they are Jewish, Dilma molid ben va'ozil palach lavodis kochavim. I'm sorry. The isur lo tischatin is not because of their Jewish, not Jew, being Jewish or not Jewish. The isur lo tischatin is because you're going to have, they're going to lead their children, they're going to raise their children to do avodah zarah. V'hani milu b'hiosin avdei kochavim. But that isur of nesinim is only while they're Gentile, before they convert. Ki megayre, but once a nesin would convert b'Yisrael, they'd be sharu. Mido writes, there's no isur lo tischatin bam, meaning if you have a nasin who's a guy, then there's a problem. But if you have a nasin who converts to a Yisrael, that's going to be okay. Mido writes, so there's not going to be an isur lo tischatin bam. V'rabbanu hu degazru bahu. Okay, now we're going to take a 1 minute pause, literally 1 minute discussion, to see why. What the problem with Nesinim are. I mean, Nesinim seem to be, there's a question if they are Jewish or not Jewish. And what we'll see now in the Gemara Yevam Zayin Ches is that really maybe they were Megayer, but still, and therefore they should be allowed to be married, but there's a Gzeira D'Rabbanan that David HaMelech put on them still not to marry them, even though they were Megayer. And that's based on the following story. Amar Avchana Barada, Nesinim David Gazar Alehem. Really, Midor Raisa, you can marry a Nasin. I assume if he's Megayer. But David HaMelech made a Gzeira D'Rabbanan that you're not allowed to. Remember, David came 500 years after Yeshua. 400 years. No, 1,000 years. 1,000 years after Yeshua. About 900 years or 1,000 years after Yeshua. Yeshua was the one who's Megayer them. And they were, even if they were, and if they were indeed Megayer properly, you can marry them on a Doraisa level, but David still made a Gzeira D'Rabbanan not to marry them. Why? Shneimar v'yikra ha-melech ha-givonim v'yomra lehem v'givonim lo b'nei Yisrael heima ma'itam ha-gazor alayu. David made a special Gzeira against the Givonim not to marry them because of a famine that happened in the time of David. There's a three-year famine. Vahira Abi made David Shalosh Shanim Shana Chashana, three consecutive years of famine. And David didn't know why there was this famine. After the first year, he said to these Givonim, who were presumably part of Klal Yisrael, supposed to be, are you guys doing Avodah Zarah? Because it's a pasuk that says, and we say it in Shema, that if you do Avodah Zarah, you're not going to have rain. They checked, no, there was no Avodah Zarah. Shnia, the second year, they said, maybe you guys have Avri Avera amongst you, because the pasuk says in Tanakh that if you have Avri Avera, there's not going to be rain. No, there's no problem with that. The third year, also, he's worried maybe people aren't giving staka properly. And they check, Batku Lamatsu. So because of this story with, again, we're not getting to the story, we're doing this very, very rapidly. David HaMelech decided to make Xerah not to marry the Givonim on a Drabbanon level. Fine. So let's put that all back in our back pocket, and now let's jump straight into the Shulchan Aruch. We are now ready to begin. Shulchan Aruch, Evan HaEzra, Hilchos Pri Avarivya, Simon Dalid. What is this Simon going to talk about now that we have a little bit of the background? Mihem Asurim Lava Bakal, and who's a Mamzer? And as you see, it has 37 Seifim. This is going to be a very long Simon, but we're going to do it a little bit quicker, because some of the things are not as nogah. So the first if in Shulchan Aruch Siman Dalet says, Mamzerim unesinim asurim isr olam atzov kol hadoros. Bein zacharim bein akevas. If you have a mamzer, we know what a mamzer is. So if a mamzer marries, whether it's a mamzer or mamzeres, she's not allowed to marry a regular Jew, Jewish boy or a Jewish girl. And if they do, all their children subsequently for all generations will be mamzerim, whether the children will be boys or girls, and their children will be boys or girls, it will go straight down whoever the child will be. Similarly, nesinim have this same, anyone who is from the Nasin tribe should first of all not marry a regular Jewish person, and if they marry a regular Jewish person, their children will all have this status of nesinim. And now, we're going to talk about that Nasin case We're going to say one comment about that Nosson case. I was giving you a little bit of the background before, and now you'll appreciate what we were just doing about the history of the Nesinim, and then that will be the end of the discussion about Nesinim. Says the Chalkas Mechokik on this piece of Shulchan Aruch. Again, the Chalkas Mechokik is the primary perish on the Shulchan Aruch. What does it mean? Who are these Nesinim? Nechleku ha-mefarshim, im heim asurim in ha-Torah, milav delotis chatein uchadirava? There's a machlokas ha-poskin, as we'll see now, whether these Nesinim, are they considered goyim, and therefore it's an issa d'oraisa to marry them, like an issa d'oraisa to marry goyim? But even if it's an issa d'oraisa to marry them, but their children and grandchildren and grandchildren, that's not specified in the Torah. Aval ha-Torah lo mona b'hem doros, u'b'nein ha-noldin lahen b'kedusha, mutar lava b'kal. Only David HaMelech Alav HaShalom Gozer Aleim LaOlam Kama Mamzer. Is it, on one hand, perhaps, that they, Anasin himself or herself, can't marry a Jewish girl? But if they did marry, then their children, Midoraisa, are totally kosher Jews in all every way. Except David HaMelech put this Gzeira D'Rabbanan and said that they can't ever, that their whole lineage going downwards for the rest of history will be puzzle. Like Mamzerim will be, but that's only Drabbanan. V'yesh mefarshin, we have a machlokas here. V'yesh mefarshin, posing to lo karava, as we'll see in a minute, the lo tischatin bam, the iser to marry the nasin on a doraisa level, is only while they were still nesina, before they were megayer. The lo tischatin koy akodim shen nisgayru, aval im nisgayru on a doraisa level, mutarn afilu heim atzma min ha-Torah, Lava Bakal. So what we have here is a machlokas as follows. Everyone agrees, as you'll see in a moment, Mikom Okon Hakom Modim Dimidrabbanan Asurim L'Olam Dori Doros, as the Mechokas Mechokik concludes. Everyone agrees that a Nasin who has children, the children are going to be off limits, Midrabbanan. The question is, when we say that it's Aster to marry a Nasin in the first place, is it even after they're Megayer, it's Asur D'oraisa to marry them? Or it's only Asur to marry them D'oraisa before they're Megayer, but once they're Megayer, it's Mutter to marry them on a D'oraisa level. It happens to be, regardless, their children will be Asur Midrabanan for all generations. That was David HaMelech's Gzeira. But we have Machlokas, whether a Machlokas, how to learn this Gemara in Yevamis, when you have a Nasin who's Megayer, is that also the raisa of los eschatim b'hem, or is it not an iser of once they're megayer, you're allowed to marry them on a doraisa level? That's what we need to see about Nesinim, and now we're going to go to the next seif. Okay, the next seif in the Shulchan Aruch. Again, I told you that was a very quick analysis. The next one will be even shorter. There will be no analysis at all. Says the Shulchan Aruch, next seif, Amoni u'Moavi. We saw the pesukim in Dvarim that says that they can't join Klal Yisrael for all generations. Amoni Mo'avi Yisurun Asurun V'Yisurun Yisraelam. Even after their Megayer, they can never marry a regular person in Klal Yisrael. Aval Nikvosein Mutaros Miyad. But a female, an Amonis or Mo'avis, she is permitted to marry. This, of course, is the discussion with David Hamelech's situation, because Rus was a Moavis, she was a Moabite woman, and therefore she is allowed, once she's Megayer, she is allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael, as she did marry Boaz, of course, and that was what the Beis Din of in the time of Boaz had to clarify this halacha, but they did clarify, Baruch Hashem. And Boaz was allowed to marry Rus, and therefore there's nothing wrong with that. But if it would be Mr. Rus, if it would have been a male from Moab, then it would be usher for that male to marry, or for any of the children, any of the male children from Ammon or Moab to marry into Klal Yisrael. Okay, that's the end of that halacha. Let's go now to Sif Gimel. Mitzri ve'edomi. Again, I mentioned last week that we're going to see later in the siman, about, you know, probably in about 3-4 weeks, that there's going to be one little if that makes all these halachas not nogei l'maisa, because all of the nations of the world that we're talking about here who are asurim lav habakahal or cause problems with the yichus, all those nations of the world were all discombobulated, were all mixed up by Sancheirev. Sancheirev bilbil es kul ha'umos, and therefore we don't know who's an Moavi, who's an Ammoni, who's a Mitzri, who's an Edomi, who's a Nasin. So all these halachas don't really apply bisman hazeh. So that's why we're just going to go through the fundamental halachas very, very speedily.
So but nevertheless, if someone wanted to be a Megayer from Egypt, we would not even be choshesh for these halachas at all then?
That is correct. If somebody wants to be Megayer from Egypt, we would accept them like any other ger, I believe. But we'll see that when we get there. I believe that's correct, yeah. The Egypt of today has nothing to do with the Mitzri of the Torah. Mitzri ve'edomi. Eina masurim ela ad shlosha doros. Echad zecharim ve'echad nekevos. Interesting. So Ammonia Moavi is much more chomer. It's all as for all future history, but it only applies to the men, not the women. Mitzri ve'edomi, which is only for three generations, which is much more lenient, applies both to men and women who convert from Mitzri ve'edomi. So there's each one has their own chumra. So what do we have here? A Mitzri ve'edomi, they're usher for three generations. How do you count the three generations? Says the Shulchan Aruch, I will explain to you so clearly how to count three. Sha'achash nisgayer, after he's megayer, he's number one. Who? Ubino. Asurim, the guy who's Megayer, the ger himself from Mitzrayim or from Edom, he's first generation. He can't marry a regular Jewish girl. After he's Megayer, he has a child. That child, who's born a Jew, also can't marry a regular Jewish girl. However, Uben Bino, but that child's child, in other words, the grandson of the Mitzri, the original Mitzri of Edomi who converted to Judaism, is Mutter. So the grandchild of a Mitzri ve'edomi, the third generation, he's number one, his child will be number two, and already his grandchild will be the third generation, will be permitted to marry a regular person. That is the halacha of a Mitzri and the halacha of an Edomi. I made a shakel earlier. Fine.
The complication is if you have a Mitzri and a Mitzri, so different levels of Geirus. That's the Gemara gets into. Which way do you count, the Chumra or the Kula? Not relevant today either, but...
Yeah, that's a good point.
One's the third generation, the other the second. I think you go the Chumra, but I'm not sure whether it's both.
I don't remember if the Shulchan Aruch will talk about that later, or it's not going to talk about it at all, because it's not a Geila Maisa.
Right.
Okay, and now we have one little permutation about the case we just spoke about. Not Mr. Bergman's permutation, but let's say you have a mitzris mu'uberes. You have a pregnant girl, she's a mitzris, and she wants to be megayer. So, okay, she wants to be megayer, we'll take her as a giores, like any other giores. But she was megayer when she was pregnant. So when she was megayer, her child, who's born after gerus, is her child considered like a ger? Because the child was in utero when the mother went to the mikveh. So will the child be a ger, or will the child be the son of the geyores, in which case the child will be second generation, and the child's child, meaning the grandchild of the mother, will already be muteris. How do we look at it? Mitzvah's mubesh and eskayah, bina, that child who is going to be born a few months after her geyores, is a mitzri sheni. That's a kula. That means the mother who is megayer is mitzri rishon. Her child who is in utero during the Geirus is already Mitzri Sheni. That means this child who's born a few months after the Geirus, their child, the grandchild of the mother, is going to be already Mutter Lava Bekahal. Fine, we just learned four Se'ifim faster than we ever did before. Now, we're going to talk about one other point. When we here talk about the Psulei Kahal, we say that a Mitzri or an Edomi are going to be, I don't want to talk about Ammoni and Moavi because we know that their Nikevos are Mutter. But let's say a Mitzri or an Edomi, are their children, let's say you have a Mitzri marries a Jewish man. A Mitzris marries a Jewish man. So does the child follow the father who's a Jewish guy or the mother who's a Mitzris? That's what they're going to learn now in this Mishnah in Kiddushin. In other words, you know that Judaism is matrilineal. We know that when it comes to determining your Shevet, whether you're Kohen Levi Yisrael, that's patrilineal. What about something that's sort of in between? You are Jewish, but it's more than your Shevet. It's your Jewish ethnicity. Okay, which is not your Shevet, but it's are you a Mitzri Jew? Are you an Edomi Jew? Are you an Ammoni Jew, a Moavi Jew? So let's see the Mishnah that's going to have three or four categories. And I made each category in a different color just to highlight the each one being a different category. So Zuck the Mishnah in Kiddushin Samach Vavam Beis. This Mishnah tells us, I think this is in Asara Yuchsin, I believe this is in the beginning of Asara Yuchsin. Kol Makom. Sheyesh kiddushin ve'ein avera. If you have a normal marriage, right, a normal marriage, there is a chalos kiddushin. They're mutter enough. The husband and wife are mutter enough to marry each other, and there's no such that the kiddushin could be chal, and there was no avera in that marriage. So it's like, Mr. Malik, he has a son who's a kohen, and his son marries a Yisrael's daughter. So regular kohen marries a Yisrael. The kiddushin is chal. There's no avera. So then what do we hold? Havlad holech achar hazachar. As follows. Ve'ezozu. What is this? What is the case that I'm just describing? As I just told you. Zu kohenes levi of Yisraelis. Shenas lekoin levi Yisrael. So who do we determine? Who is going to be the child? The child will be determined by the father. So in terms of koin levi Yisrael, we follow patrilineal descent. Why? Because it's a pasuk in Chumash. L'mishpacho sam leves avosam ksiv. That the determining factor of the family status is the base av. So therefore, if you have a kohen married kohenes married to a Yisrael, the child will be a Yisrael. If you have a Yisraelis married to a kohen, the child will be a kohen. And this is the halach that we of course know. Fine. Now let's go to the next case, which is less familiar with us. Kol makom sheyesh kiddushin v'yesh avera. What does that mean? Yesh Kiddushin, meaning it's not one of the Arayas, it's not with the Gentile, it's with the Jewish person to whom there is a Tfisas Kiddushin, but it's the Jewish person to whom there's a Tfisas Kiddushin that you're not allowed to marry this Jewish person, this Jewish woman. Then the Vlad will always go after the, not patrilineal, not matrilineal, but rather Pigam millennial. Havlad holich achar ha-pigam, ha-pagum. You will always define the child by the worse of the two. Ve'ezozu, we'll have a few examples. Amana l'kohen gadol, what's the child going to be? A pagum, meaning not a kohen. Grusha v'chalutz l'kohen hadyot, what will the child be? A pagum, not a kohen. Mamzeres unasina l'Yisrael, we're going to follow the mother, who's the messed up one. Bas Yisrael mamzer l'nasin, who are we going to follow? The father, because he's the messed up one. So these are all situations. This, I think, is something that people don't always realize. This is a situation that we're going to not care who the father is, not care who the mother is, but as long as any of the two parents are messed up, or I shouldn't say it in that coarse language, if either of the two parents have a psul yichus, that psul yichus will be the determining factor of who the child of this child's identity. That's case number two. Now, case number three. What happens if there is the type of union of the parents that there's not even a tfisas kiddushin? What's the situation where there's a marriage where there's not even a tfisas kiddushin? But it's only because of the union of these two people that there's no tfisas kiddushin. But they would marry some other Jew, it would be a tfisas kiddushin. That's the case of Arayas. You marry your sister, you marry your mother, you marry your daughter, you marry your sister-in-law, you marry your daughter-in-law, you marry your mother-in-law, you marry your right? Although you marry your aunt, all those cases are cases that if anyone else would marry that woman, it would be fine. But you, if you marry that person, it's not even a tefisas kiddushin because of its nerva. So what's the status of that child? Komish en la alav kiddushin, aval yesh la alachem kiddushin, you marry her. There's no tefisas kiddushin. Anyone else in the Jewish community would marry her, it would be totally fine. Havlad is a mamzer. Yeah, we knew that. That's what a typical case of a mamzer is. Ve'ezo zeh, zeh haba al achas mikol ha'araya shebatorah. So if the parents' union is one which would not have a tefisas kiddushin, because it's an erva, it's one of the arayos, one of the 15 arayos, then the child will be a mamzer. And again, as we saw, there's no difference between a mamzeres or a mamzer, male or female. For all generations, the child of that progeny will be a mamzer. Finally, the Mishnah condition says the fourth category of determining matrilineal or patrilineal descent is what happens if the mother is not Jewish. So the way the Mishnah presents it is, if there's no kiddushin, not for me because of my family situation, but for any Jew who marries this woman, there's no tefisas kiddushin because she's not Jewish. Komish ein lo la lo alav lo achirin kiddushin havlad ke. Most of them will follow the mother. Hold on.
It also apply to shifra eved also. This last second, category. A rabbi asked before the Rav's call that this last category, wouldn't that also include a shifra or an eved also?
Yeah, so let's see that in the Mishnah. If you marry, if there's no tvis kedushin, if I marry this girl or any other Jew marries this girl, havlad kamosa ve'izazeh zevlad shifcha v'nachris. So if the mother is a shifcha, or the mother is Gentile, so a regular Jew, a Jew who marries a shifcha, there's no tvis kedushin. A Jew who marries a non-Jewish woman, there's no tvis kedushin. So in such a case, the child will always be like the mother, matrilineal. And of course, we know that the mother is, we follow the mother when it comes to, is the kid a Jewish or not? That's, so those are the various categories of that are presented by the Mishnah, four different categories of how to follow. So when it comes to Levi Kohen Yisro, we follow the father. When the question of Judaism, we follow the mother. When it comes to the case of by an erva, then the kid is a mamzer regardless. And in the case of the case that's really a chiddush to us that we didn't really know before we saw this Mishnah, is really the case of the whenever there's an iser lavo bekahal, but there is tvisas kedushin, then we will always follow the pugum. We'll always follow the pugum.
Sorry, did we cover Eishes Ish here? When it comes to mamzer, we covered someone who's usher only to you, but not to all of Klal Yisrael, right?
Well, the third category is Echad Mikol HaRayos. So that includes Eishes Ish. It also includes your sister and your mother-in-law and your daughter all of those will be mamzerim.
She'ein lo alav kedushin, aval yesh lo al acherim kedushin, does cover your sister and your brother. But Eishes Ish is also to everyone. I mean, we know the result, but it doesn't seem to fit.
Right. And you're saying Eishes Ish. No, Eishes Ish is mutter to her husband.
Yeah, that's what we mean. Yeah,
Eishes Ish is mutter to her husband, and therefore
that might be the case.
She will be, but usher to everybody else, therefore she'll be like the rest of the Arayos.
Okay.
How about, Rabbi, an Eved, we saw a shifcha in the Mishnah. What about an Eved? I know a Nachri to a Jewish Bas Yisrael, of course, is a Jewish girl, a Jewish child. What about an Eved to a Bas Yisrael?
An Eved to a Bas Yisrael, the child will be Jewish. Havlad Kamosa. That will be an Eved to a Bas Yisrael, will be Jewish, a regular Jewish boy, no different than a guy to a Bas Yisrael.
But there's no Tfisa Kedushin in that case, obviously.
That's right. It's like the last case of the Mishnah, which says that if there's no Tfisa Kedushin for any Jew, any Jewish girl can't marry an Eved. Therefore, the Vlad will be like the mother, which in this case will be a Jewish girl, a Jewish child to a Jewish mother.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Okay. That was, until now, we did the technical, harder, less fun part. Now we're going to get into the more exciting part of the second half of the year, which will be more the more interesting half of this year. And that is the Shaila that I think is a very real Shaila that is relatively common, especially when you deal with families that are not, not necessarily well-integrated families or families that don't come from religious situations where the mother's Jewish and the father is Gentile. I have one in my class right now. Again, I had a Talmidah a few years ago. I was already married. And this Shaila comes up all the time. So what's the status of, we're going to ask two questions. First of all, if you have a Jewish Jewish mother, so the kid's Jewish, of course, as we just learned, but the father's a Gentile. So the Mishnah just said, that's really the case we just said. Kol mi she'ein la lo lav la chem kedushin. Havlad Kamosa, that's the case of a Nachris. The mother is not Jewish. Well, or the father is not Jewish, will always follow the mother, whoever the mother is. But it doesn't tell. So what is the status of that kid? Is the kid going to be totally fine? Is the kid not totally fine? If your child wants to go out with a nice Jewish girl that they met at Queens College, and the girl at Queens College, she's from out of town. She came to Queens College because a lot of Jewish boys there. And you find out that her mother's Jewish, the kid's Jewish, no gioris, the kid's Jewish, a Jewish girl, or a Jewish boy, but the father is a Gentile. So what's the status? Could you allow this marriage? Could you not allow this marriage? The kid's Jewish, the person who your child wants to marry is Jewish. Is there anything wrong if the father was a Gentile? That's question A. The second half of the question is, if something is wrong, so let's say they got married already. Let's say, as the case also could come up, let's say, we'll talk about the let's say case. If it already happened, will we force a divorce? We'll talk about that a little bit later after we get the first stage of who is this child allowed to marry? Again, mom's Jewish, dad isn't Jewish. What am I? What's the status of the fathers in Jewish? So we're going to have two Gemaras. And the two Gemaras are going to seemingly be talking about the same exact case, but presumably the simple reading will sound like they're saying opposite things. The thing that's weird about it is they're on the same daf in Shas. Memhemet Aleph in Yevamos and Memhemet Beis in Yevamos. So let's see this Gemara in Yevamos, daf Memhemet Aleph. So this could really be a shir unto itself, half a shir, a chatzi shir unto itself. This is its own topic. And now let's begin. Mishum Rabbeinu Amru, says the Gemara in Yevamos. Ovid kochavim ve'eved haba abas Yisrael havlad mamzer. If the father's a guy, the kid is a mamzer. Did you ever hear that? I didn't hear that. But that's what the Gemara said. And ovid kochavim ve'eved haba abas Yisrael, the kid is a mamzer. Uh-oh, that's really bad. That means that this fellow in my shir who's, I've had a few fellows in my shir whose fathers are Gentiles. I had one very cute case. Well, I mentioned it before Pesach. This year I have such a student, and I had a student years ago, and the shaila was Mechiras Chametz. Does he have to sell the chametz in his house? Because after all, his house is owned by his father, who's a Gentile. So, just sell the chametz to his dad. His dad already owns it. So we're not going to go into the Mechiras Chametz aspect of the shaila if your father's a Gentile. But here, the first opinion in this Gemara in Yevamos, I don't know who Rabbeinu is in the context of this Gemara. The kid is a mamzer. If the father's a drug guy, the kid's a mamzer. That's really, really, really bad news. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omer, no. Havlad mekolkol. If the father is a Gentile, the Vlad is not a mamzer, O Baruch Hashem. But the Vlad is mekolkol. What does the word mekolkol mean? He's ruined. He's spoiled. There's something wrong. Leman, to whom is he mekolkol? Asks the Gemara in Yevamos. Leman, ilem lekahal. If you say that if there's a father who's a guy, this child is mekolkol lekahal, can't marry a regular Jewish boy or girl, that can't be because ha'amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi have vlad kosher. We know that if the father is a guy, as long as the mother's Jewish, the vlad is kosher. The child could is kosher. Ela lekahuna. When a father is a guy, the child is not allowed to marry a Kohen. So if I have a kid in my class, if I have a girl in my our program whose father is a guy, so she is not allowed to marry a Kohen. Uh-huh. Tekulu Amoroi Madimashri, all the Amoraim who do allow this woman whose father's a guy to come the kahal to marry a regular Jewish boy, they agree. Modish avlad pogam lekahuna. Why do they get this? Where do they get this from? Where do you get that there should be a psul kahuna? We're not talking about kohanim here. We're not talking about a psul kahuna. What? Like I understand you talk about chalolim, grusha v'chalutz lechoin hedyo, tamar lechoin gadol. We're not talking about. I'm just talking about a father's a guy. Who's talking about a kohen? We have a kal v'chomer. The Gemara is going to suggest a very, very strong kal v'chomer. Look at this kal v'chomer. Kal v'chomer from Almana. Ma Almana l'koin gadol. She'eni surashava b'kol b'napagum. If you have an Almana to a koin gadol, right? No, that's an Issa d'Araisa. It's Issa D'Oraisa only on the Kohen Gadol. He's the only one who has this Issa D'Oraisa. He's a very special guy. And because he's so special, he's going to have, it's an Issa that's only on him. It's not on anyone else. I'm allowed to marry an Almana. You're allowed to marry an Almana. Just the Kohen Gadol can't marry an Almana. And nevertheless, the child is a pagum. The child is a halal. Zoo. She'isura shava bakol. The union of a Jewish woman with a Gentile man, where everybody has that iser. Nobody's allowed to marry a Gentile. No Jew is allowed to marry a Gentile. Eino din shebena pagum. Certainly, the child of that union should be pagum. Let's think about that kavachomer for a second. It's a very strong kavachomer. I don't know if we're going to have any pirchas on this kavachomer. The kavachomer is that if you have a weak, let's see what the kavachomer with the chomer is. If you have a weak iser, Almana l'Kohen Gadol is a weak iser. What makes it weak? W-E-A-K. What makes it weak is that there's only one person in the world who has this iser. And yet, if the iser is violated and there's a baby is produced from that iser, that baby is a pagum, and there's a halal or a halala and can't marry a Kohen. Kavachomer, when you have a chomer dika iser, when the union of the parents is more chomer, how is it more chomer? And by virtue of the fact that all women can't marry all men can't marry a Gentile woman, all women can't marry a Gentile man. So therefore, that makes it more chomer because it's more universal. So kavachomer, that this higher level iser of that shavalakol, that is shavalakol, certainly the child of that union should be pagum and not be able to marry a kohen. That's
Rabbi,
the kavachomer.
Maybe a pircha would be that the other one by Almana Kohen Gadol, there was a defect in the kahuna in a certain sense. So that's why it's a pugum for Kohen. But this one, the Shavu Bakol, it's not a defect in the kahuna.
You're saying a very good svar. You're saying maybe by Almana Kohen Gadol, there the causes of pugam kahuna because the psul in the marriage, in the union, was a psul, was something wrong for a Kohen.
Yes. Yeah.
As opposed to marrying a non-Jewish man and marrying a non-Jewish woman, that's nothing to do with the Kohen per se, so maybe it's not going to cause a psul to the Kohen. Excellent question. Very, very, very strong question. I don't have a great answer. All I could say, and I guess this is going to have to be the answer, is when we talk about an issur that's shavah bakol, it's possible for Kohanim also. It's possible, you're right, it's not a psul kahuna, you're right, but it's a psul for Kohanim and Yisraelim, so it should have at least the same magnitude of creating this psul kahuna. I don't have a great answer for you. I hear your question. It's a good question. Okay. So the conclusion of this Gemara is, we answer the question. We have this Kal Vachomer that seems to say that a non-Jewish father and a Jewish mother, we have a Kal Vachomer from Almana l'Kohen Gadol, that just like there the baby is pagum and can't marry a Kohen, so too this case of a non-Jewish father will, even though the mother is fully Jewish and the child is fully Jewish, they're not allowed to marry a Kohen. So that girl who came to me 10 years ago on our summer program says, Rabbi Orly, and my dad's not Jewish, what's up with me? I would tell her, according to this Gemara, you could have your choice of any nice Jewish boy, but none with the last name Cohn or Katz. That's what this Gemara comes out with. The problem is that if you turn the Amud in Yevamos Daf Mem Hei, you're going to find the Gemara come to its conclusion. The Hilchasa, which we know is always the conclusion of the Gemara, Ovei Kochavim ve'eved haba bas Yisrael, mamish our case. Havlad kosher. The Vlad is kosher. What's the opposite of kosher? Pugum. Meaning, it sounds from this Gemara that the Vlad is not a pugum. The Vlad is a kosher. And not only that, bein penuya, bein be'eshes ish, if you have a Gentile, be ma'anis, a married woman, and have a child, still the kid will be a kosher. Could still marry. It sounds like kosher. It is kosher lakuna. So we really have a stira in these two gemaras on two sides of the page of Yevamos Mem Hei, Amud Aleph and Amud Hei Amud Beis. What the halacha is? We have this great kavachomer on Amud Aleph, and we have the hilchos on Amud Beis that the vlad is kosher, not pugum. So what are we gonna do? How are we gonna deal with this stira? We're gonna see, and this is really the last point that we're gonna do today. Three mahalchim in the Rishonim, how to resolve this stira. which is going to come up with, which is going to result in a machlokes haposkim, perhaps, a machlokes rishonim at least, what is the halacha of this girl, this poor girl whose father is a Gentile? Will she be able to marry a kohen, or will she have to write on her "saw you at Sinai" resume, "I can't go out with kohanim"? Is she going to have to write that on her "saw you at Sinai" or not? Her mother's Jewish. She was born a Jewish. She went to Jewish day schools, but her father's a guy. So let's see the machlokas rishonim on this shaila. So the first shita will be the Rosh. The Rosh in Yevamis on that, Gemara in Yevamis on Daf Memhei. The Rosh says, now I labeled these two Gemaras, one and two. The first one was the son that says that he's Pagum. The second Gemara was this, the Vehilchasa, that you're the Vlad is Kosher. Says the Rosh, Ve'eni roe lekan makom shiipol basafik. I don't even see a suffik in this shaila. Why? Because the Gemara said explicitly, Stama de Gemara, the Gemara said in plain words, quote, and look at how strongly the Gemara articulated itself, says the Rosh. Dekulhu, this is quoting the Gemara, Dekulhu Amorai de Machshru, all the Amoraim who say that the child, that if the father's a guy and there's a child, this child is kosher, Modu Dahavlad Pogum Likuhuna Kavachomer Me'amana. So the Gemara says, everybody, even if you're machshir the child, you will still agree that the child will be pasul for kahuna. And we have this kavachomer. The came of the kavachomer less le pircha, and since this kavachomer was never, you know, popped, didn't have any questions, I know that Yossi Sonnenblick asked the question, but says the Rosh, there's no question on this kavachomer. Lekamant palakala. No one argues on this. The Gemara says explicitly, there is no machlokas about this case. Oh, what about the Gemara on Amud Beis that says that the kid is a kosher? Umashlo is kira Gemara bekan vehilchasa havlad pugum. Why, when we said vehilchasa, why did we say the vlad is kosher? Why didn't we say that the vlad is pugum? You can't marry a kohen. We should delot sarach lemisa because we don't have to mention that because we already had the maskana on the previous Amud saying that you're pugum to the kohen. Dekvar masik stama de Gemara leel dekulam aray modu. You don't have to mention that. So when we say it's kosher, it's talking about kosher for a regular person. It must be that the only thing that's usher is for a for a kohen. So that's the Rosh. The Rosh's shita is he chooses the first Gemara because the first Gemara itself, if you remember, the first Gemara said this very strong line that all the Amoraim agree, even if they're machshir this child, they'll agree that the child still can't marry Kohanim. And therefore, that's how the Rosh is going to paskin. And you can imagine what the Torah is going to paskin, right? The Torah, the son of the Rosh. The Torah is also going to go straight like his dad, the Rosh. And the Torah is going to say, like his father, that the child of this union, again, Gentile father, Jewish mom, the kid is a kosher Jew, but cannot marry a Kohen. That's the opinion of the Rosh. Just to make you dizzy, look at the Rambam in his silence. The Rambam says, in Yisurei Bia Tetzvav Gimel, Akum ve'eved, haba abas Yisrael, havlad, kosher. He doesn't talk about Kohanim. He doesn't talk about anything else. He doesn't say pasul for kahuna. He just says, in very short words, the kid is kosher. Ben penuya, ben eshes ish, ben ba'ones, ben bratzon. Whenever the situation, however it happened, whatever and why ever it happened, even if the mother was an eshes ish, who was mizana intentionally with a guy, right? She ran off with the garbage man. She ran off with the plumber, the Gentile plumber, intentionally. The child of that union will still be, since again, the kid's not going to be a mamzer, because it's not considered a eshes ish because it's with a Gentile. So the Rambam says havlad kasher. And doesn't qualify it whatsoever. It's clear from the Rambam that if the father's a Gentile, the kid is completely kosher. And could even marry a Kohen. So what do we have in front of us? We have a machlokas, Rabosai, a very significant machlokas, the Rush and the Rambam, about my student. My student, whose dad is a guy, according to the Rush, this child cannot marry a Kohen. This girl cannot marry a Kohen. According to the Rambam, this girl can marry a Kohen. Now you know where this is going to get complicated? Now I could raise the shayla that I wanted to raise before. The shayla is going to be, what happens when it happened already? Do we make them get divorced? You hear that? A Kohen girl, this girl whose dad is a Kohen, didn't learn in yeshiva. She knew she had to marry a Jewish boy. She married a Jewish boy. She married a boy whose last name happens to be Cohen or Katz. He knew that he has to marry a Jewish girl. So he married a Jewish girl. Her mother's Jewish. Then later on, they become Baali Tshuva. And later on, they find out that he's a Kohen and she's the daughter of a Gentile father. Do they have to get divorced? Well, according to the Rush, they weren't allowed to get married in the first place. According to the Rambam, it was mutar lechatchila for them to yes get married in the first place. So what are we going to do? According to the Rush, they're living be'isser, da'oraisa be'pashtos. According to the Rambam, they're living be'heter gamer. Now they're married. Is there suffix issa da'oraisa every time they're together? Do they have to divorce because there's an issa da'oraisa, there's a suffix issa da'oraisa that they're getting involved with, and every time they're together? That's going to be a question that we'll have to get to. I don't know if we'll have enough time today, but I want to do one more shita. We have the Rush who says that the child cannot marry a Kohen. The Rama says, Havlat Kash, you can marry the Kohen. And now we're going to see the Rif. The Rif, I know the Rif came before the Rush, I know that, but look what the Rif says. The Rif says the following. He says, this issue is subject to machlokas, which I already presented to you, machlokas. V'ikam mirabvasa, there are those among the rabbanim, the misami ba, the haidamrin havlad kosher, when we say in this second Gemara, the one on Amud Beis, instead of Vlad kosher, Vlad kosher, that just means honey milili Yisrael. Right? How do we resolve the stira, what the apparent stira between two sides of an Amud in Gemara Yevamos? The first Amud says that if the father's a guy, you can't marry a Kohen. The next Amud says, V'hilchasa havlad kosher. Talking about the same case. One says you can't marry a Kohen, the next side says havlad kosher. So he says the obvious answer. When we say havlad kosher, we mean havlad kosher for a regular Yisrael. But of course, to marry a Kohen, that's a little bit different. For that, the vlad is pagum. Avalakud. When we said, Behadamri, Behadamri, Havlad kosher, Hanumil Yisrael. Avalakuhuna havlad pagum. De'i brata hi asur lekohen. Okay, fine. We said on Amud Aleph that first Gemara that all the Amorim agree that the Vlad is that even if you hold the Vlad is kosher, the Vlad is still puzzled to call on him. We said it's the Kuli Alma, so you can't argue on that. So this is going like the Rush, that the Vlad is indeed kosher, the Vlad is kosher Yisrael, but is pugum to Kohanim. On the other hand, v'chazinu l'rav v'sachrini, other poskim says the Rif, depaske v'hilchusa ovi kochav v'eved haba bas Yisrael havlad kosher. That's the words of the Rambam. And they don't specify that the Vlad is pugim in any which way. So how do I hold? Who's right, the Rush or the Rif, asks the Rambam. Again, I know he's before the Rush, but conceptually, who's going to be right? V'anan misapgalon. We don't know. We have a genuine bona fide suffix. Is this child whose father's a guy, mother's Jewish, father's guy, a Gentile, we're misupik, you have a pogum, ilo. We have a suffix. How do I deal with it? I have a steer, I have what seems to be a steer in the Gemaras. Different Rishonim, some folks on the first Gemara, some folks on the second Gemara. Midichazila Gemara, Basa, Shaka, Vitario, Deposit, Vihilchasa. Right, you have a Gemara that talks about definitely the Vlad is pugim for Kuna, but then it has a discussion and comes out with the words v'hilchasa that the kid is kosher, and doesn't say anything about Kohanim. So we have a suffix. So basically, we have every possibility is covered. Kosher puzzle, meaning kosher for everybody, pugim for Kahuna, or suffix whether you're pugim or kosher. How do we paskin? We'll finish with this point. Like, which region does the Shulchan Aruch Paskin? I told you how the Tur Paskins, because the Tur is, of course, the son of the Rush. So the Tur is going to Paskin that if the father is a guy, you have Lad Kosher Lekal, but Pagam to Kahuna. How is the Shulchan Aruch going to Paskin?
Usually, the Shulchan Aruch goes by the Riff and the Rambam. Shulchan Aruch usually goes according to the Riff and the Rambam.
No, it's going to be complicated, though, because the Rambam.
The majority of the three. The majority of the three.
Majority is the Riff and the Rambam, no?
Well, the problem is the Riff is Mesupik. So I have the Rush over here, the Rambam over here, and the Riff is split. So I have a perfect split. This is the most perfect question for the Mahalach of Psak of the Shulchan Aruch. When you have a total 50 split, right? It's 2 out of 3. What happens when it's 1 and 1? And the third, who the deciding fact says, I don't know. That's exactly what we have here. The Rambam says you're kosher. The Rush says you're pusel. And the deciding fact is going to be the Riff? He says, I don't know. It's a suffix. This is a great case. This is a great litmus test. Let's see how the Shulchan Aruch passes.
Can I go the Chumra?
Let's see.
Go with the Rambam. Should go with the Rambam.
Let's see. Shulchan Aruch, Simon. What we're going to see now is... Why don't I have Sif Hay here? Okay, there we're going to see three seifim in this siman talk about the same halacha. This I'm sorry, I don't know why I didn't have the right one. Let's see this one. Oved kochavim ve'eved shabo al hamamzeres havlan mamzer. Okay, that's not for us. We're not talking about mamzer. Vimbo al bas Yisrael. If you have a guy, come on a bas Yisrael bein penuya. That's not important. Havlat is kosher vip pagam lekahuna. He is either passing like the Rush, or like Mr. Saad said, he's sees it as a suffik d'oraisa. Therefore, suffik d'oraisa lechumra.
Right.
And also, you have yichusin. Yichusin, they're very careful with yichusin altogether.
My loss of yichusin.
Right. That could be. Especially and let's just see quickly. I'm sorry, I didn't cut and to show you before. Let's see the Arsif, which is really what we're supposed to be learning today. And we'll finish with this. Sif Hey, Yisrael, Shaba Alachas Me'elo Havlad Kamosa. That was the other halacha that if a Yisrael comes on a mitzris or an adomis, the mother, the child is defined as a Gentile, like an adomis or a mitzris. Ve'echad Me'elo, again, putting mamzer aside. A Gentile, a Mitzri, an Adomi, a Gentile, Shabbat Bas Yisrael, Havlad Kosher LeKahal, Ela Shapogam LeKahuna. That is the conclusion of the Shulchan Aruch that we just learned of Sif Hey, and it was repeated as I showed you here in Sif Yud Tes, which is a little later in this same Siman. Twice in this Siman, the Shulchan Aruch paskins both times the same way, consistently. That if the father's a guy, the child is kosher to anybody except to marry a Kohen. And therefore, next week, we're going to have to find out what happens if they didn't know that. And this girl whose father is a Gentile married a Kohen, are we going to ask them to please get divorced? After all, the Shulchan Aruch says, Paskins, that their marriage is a marriage of prohibition, that their marriage is usur. And therefore, we'll have to see next week if we're going to therefore require that they get divorced. Bez Hashem, that will be next week's. So that will be the first half of next week's shir.
Why does the Rambam say it's good? It's good across the board.
The Rambam, because the Rambam assumes that the conclusion of the sugya is v'hilchasa. The hilchasa, you have a whole shachavatari on Amar Aleph, and you can go say whatever you want. But we know that the bottom line is the v'hilchasa, and the v'hilchasa says havlad kosher. So havlad kosher.
And usually the Shulchan Aruch would go according to the Rambam. He's a Sephardi.
No, you told me a minute ago the Shulchan Aruch follows 2 out of 3.
True. So in this case, you had 1 and 1, and you had middle. But he could go according
to the
Rambam.
So the question is, what's out of that middle? When the Riff says, "I don't know what to do," how do you? So what does he say practically, Mr. Rabbi Riff? So what do I do? What is he going to say?
You leave him out.
No, he says, "I don't know what to do," and it's Nisa Daraisa. So what is he telling you? He's telling you don't do it. So it ends up being 2 out of 3. One out of certainty, one out of uncertainty. But even the uncertain ones ends up saying don't do it.
You have been listening to a presentation of Ben's Torah. www.almanachongalot.com.